throw balls far. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kalk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Garrison Financial Friday out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We got a loaded show today. At the end of the show, we'll talk about, you know, what's going on. Oklahoma State firing Mike Boynton. What's next? Our daily look at bracketology. Thunder beat Dallas. Players Championship underway. They rip the course apart. Is Rory a cheater? Lots of things that we can talk about in that last segment. At 9:30, we'll have Big Elk head baseball coach Jay McClure. Speaking of busy, Big Elk's going to be busy for the next couple of weeks, kind of catching up from the early season after basketball was over. But right off the top, of course, it's Scotty G in the house for Garrison Financial Friday. How are we doing, fellas?
Doing good.
All right. In my hands, I have
been chomping at the bit about
this. I know. I really do. I've got some financial things, and it's going to be a little bit of a quiz. But before we get going, Sam on the text line is pointed out something that I had in my mind as well. I was going to wish you a happy birthday yesterday via text. Instead, I decided to wait till today. Happy belated birthday.
Thank you very much.
Will you divulge which year this was of your birth?
I'm 48.
48.
Yeah, it hurts. Oof. Like parts of my body hurt that I didn't even know I had.
Oh, well, 40.
It looked like you had a nice little birthday dinner.
Yeah,
on Facebook.
So let's hear about the dish you made.
Oh, well, actually, that's how nice of a guy I am. My mom made lobster for me last night. Yeah, went out to mom's, had some lobster, and my dad and my brother had steak because they don't eat lobster, which is fine with me because that means I get to eat more.
Yeah.
And everybody's passing around all the sides, and you don't need a side when you have lobster.
It's lobster night.
It's lobster. That's what you eat. But I went home. That's how good of a husband I am. I saved one, kept it alive, and cooked it for my wife at 9:30 because she was at the school for parent-teachers meeting.
Oh, that's right. It was parent-teachers conference.
Look at you.
So that was the one we saw on Facebook.
That was the one you saw on Facebook.
Even now, on your birthday, you're thinking of others.
Had you stuffed yourself so much for the lobsters at your mother's, or did you go ahead and help Melissa out with hers?
Well, I mean, I wasn't sure she's going to, you know. I wanted to crack it for her and all of that, so I might have
sampled, just see how it was.
Might have thrown a few in.
Well, happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
Another year around the sun.
Thank you very much. Just wait. You have no idea how bad your body's going to hurt in a few years, buddy.
I'm telling you, we've been on this walking thing in the mornings.
Yeah.
We didn't get up today because last night I heard the wind hit, and I thought, it's going to be cold in the morning. Yeah. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And my legs already feel better for not walking about 3 miles. I'm like, hey, I'm a brand new man. Okay, I've got some numbers here. And I'm going to... Okay, here's how this is going to work. So, the first number is 2.4. 2.4. Now, there's going to be a theme to these numbers, and if you can figure out the theme right off the bat, you might have an idea. The first one's going to be the hardest, but then from there, I think you might be able to have a better chance. But 2.4 is the first number. Can anybody tell me what that number represents in the sporting world?
The average strokes on 17. I don't know.
No, that's not it.
Okay.
I have no idea.
Okay. 2.4
billion.
Billion.
2.4
billion.
Okay. Can't think of a team that's sold recently.
No.
Not a team that's sold.
It's a good thought.
You got me stumped. I mean, I don't know.
$2.4 billion is the amount of money that was spent by NFL teams and free agency during the 52-hour legal tampering
52-hour
window. $2.4 billion.
That's a lot of money.
Total contract worth.
Now, good Lord, that's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. So the theme is going to be free agency.
Okay.
The next number is 900.6.
900.6.
And that is million. 900.6 million.
I mean...
Money on defense.
Quarterbacks.
That's a decent guess. That's a decent guess. The 10 largest contracts total.
10 largest contracts.
That were handed out. 900.6.
Okay. That's, wow.
Almost $1 billion.
In 10 contracts.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, 90.
And I wouldn't even say that there was a free agent this year that I was like.
That just, I mean.
That blew my mind.
Right. 900.6. Okay. The next number. 332 million.
332 million. That's quarterbacks.
It is a quarterback.
It's a quarterback?
Not it's a quarterback that was in the news during this free agency period.
What the Broncos are going to have to pay.
That's a good guess. 332 million is the total career earnings of Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, I saw that.
$332 million. Kirk Cousins has now, at the end of this deal, will have made $332 million. Are you kidding me?
His decision-making might be questionable on the field,
but it's
however.
Well, reading this article that it had all these numbers listed.
Is he probably the highest-paid quarterback ever?
I mean, some of those guys, you know, you're getting 200 something. So far, surely Brady and Peyton surpassed
in total
him.
Earnings is what we're talking
like,
about.
Like what they will have made. I mean, you know, Mahomes is his $500 million, but he's barely into it.
Yeah.
The interesting thing about Cousins, and I think why his number is so high, he's one of the only guys I can think of that. He has reached the point of free agency twice now in his career.
Yeah.
You know, coming off of a pretty good season for Washington, they didn't necessarily want to pay him. Minnesota said we will, and now here we are kind of the same thing 6 years later. He's unique in that way because a lot of times those guys never make it to free agency.
Yeah.
If they're, you know, guys that are kind of his status, I guess, but he's done it twice, $332 million.
Okay. Maybe it's a good thing to be the 10.5 quarterback instead of in the top 10.
Yeah, there you go.
You know?
That way you get extra cracks at the table. Okay? 213.8 million. And this number is significantly higher than it's been over the last, say, 3 or 4 years. I'll give you a hint. 213.8 million.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know where to go with any of these.
$213.8 million is the amount of money that was spent on running backs. Which is significantly higher than it has been. Do you boys think that is because are we seeing some sort of shift?
There was actually a story.
Or is it because there was some better players that were available during this free agency?
Well, I think
in a need for some teams, they needed it. So they paid it no matter what.
Yeah, I think that that's a big part of it. I also think that the way that teams like San Francisco are using guys like Christian McCaffrey and Samuel is opening eyes that to what the running back can be, you know, if you have that guy. Now, I don't know if Saquon Barkley can be that guy as far as that, you know – I don't think that he's that great of a receiver out of the backfield. However, then again, he's never had a quarterback worth a darn either, so maybe he is. But, yeah, I think that's a big part of it. I think you're going to see the running backs going to get – they've been just hammered for what, 20 years now since the wide receiver took over? And so, yeah, I think that's a big part of it.
I don't know if it's a renaissance of the quarterback, but I think, or the running back, I think we won't know that. And there's not really one in the draft this year that's going to go high, I don't think.
Not really.
And that's the measuring tape for me is when are they getting drafted? You know, maybe draft them low, pay them later.
Bijan was what, 8th, 7th last year, somewhere. Something like that?
And came out and made it worthy. Yeah, he was worthy of that pick.
Well, here's the deal. I think outside of, you know, Derrick Henry was in this class too, and he got paid. But outside of him, you know, those type of guys, Derrick Henry, I mean, even Adrian was like this too. I mean, he could catch it if he swung it to him, but he was by no means like a receiver out of the backfield. Like, say, I think Saquon has that ability. I think your point is well taken, though. We haven't really seen it because of, you know, late Eli and then into Daniel Jones. You know, he just hasn't really – I think it's there. I mean, I don't think he's McCaffrey, set him out in the slot and look like a run, like a slot receiver.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think he has the ability to create those mismatches. I'm going to wait and see, because I think the quality of guys plus the need of teams kind of intersected this year. I don't know if this is going to be some sort of trend just yet.
Yeah,
of the running backs actually kind of resurging to more prominence than they have been. I mean, if you'd like to see it, if you're obviously some kid in junior high or junior in high school or even going into college right now, you got to be thinking, man, in 3 years, this would be great.
Yeah, because
that means I don't have to be a receiver.
Go back to being
Okay, the last number I have written down is 231 million.
231. Yeah, I'm gonna say that that's the receivers.
No, they were less. I didn't write down the number. 231 is the amount of money Atlanta spent in free agency. Now, obviously, 180 for Kirk is gonna put that number out there. They spent the most at $231 million. So almost 10% of that $2.4 billion came from the Atlanta Falcons. Now.
Just during that period.
Just during
because the Bucks spent between the free agents that they re-signed.
Right, that's obviously
not on here.
Yeah, that doesn't. Yeah, and it may be teams. I think it may be teams that moved or players that moved.
That moved.
Yes. Yeah, because the Bucks spent 150 something
on
two guys. But even then, I mean, that's less than they spent on Kirk Cousins, which is crazy to think about. Interesting thing to me. I mean, it's cool. It's a fun thing to watch. Talk about how ridiculous these numbers are. I know 255 was another number, 255 million, which would be the increase in the salary cap league wide that came out of kind of nowhere, which probably boosted these numbers up just a little bit. But the interesting thing to me, after all this, and we can talk about, you know, your Steelers made some splashes, no doubt. The different teams, the Eagles with Saquon, the Ravens with Derrick Henry, and so on and so forth. You know who's not very impressed with anything so far? What entity wasn't overly impressed with free agency? Just kind of shrugged it off, and it didn't change their opinion all that much?
Dallas?
San Francisco didn't do much.
Vegas. Yeah. Vegas doesn't – it didn't affect hardly any of – like win total, any of that.
Yeah.
Odds.
No. I thought you meant the Raiders.
It just really, didn't,
it didn't change much of anything.
Hmm.
And so when you start thinking about
– Now, the Falcons had to go their win-loss had to go
I don't think they've released those yet. I think all they have is like Super Bowl odds and that kind of odds because until after the draft.
Yeah.
And then they'll start doing the win totals and that kind of thing. But it didn't. I mean, and those odds are harder to change.
Sure.
Obviously, because one, they don't want the exposure out there to just make wild swings. But it got me to thinking, okay, when's the last time that some big major free agent signing in the offseason affected
the Super Bowl?
Who won the Super Bowl?
The easy, quick answer is Tom Brady.
That's right. I mean, that's the obvious one.
Yeah,
that was immediate.
And then Peyton Manning, when he went to the Broncos, is another easy answer.
Took him a couple years, right? Didn't take him a couple years?
Yeah, it did take two.
Let's see. They lost to the Ravens in 12. They lost. They got destroyed in the Super Bowl by Seattle.
Yeah.
And then eventually, and the funny thing about that was, as Peyton got worse, they got better. Yeah. And so then by the time they finally won it,
yeah,
he was really just kind of a guy.
Everybody was questioning if he should even be the
yeah,
starter.
Yeah.
That's how worn out he was. So, yeah, other than those two that are, like you say, that are give-me's and that were looking for a team that had the ability to compete.
That's right.
The last time a free agent really had an impact, well, I mean,
was Deion a free agent when he?
Well, now you're going way back.
Deion was one of the original free agents when he went from San Francisco to Dallas in between 94 and 95.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the.
It might be our first answer to that question.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big reason why Dallas didn't win more and more and more, because that's kind of when that all started.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you'd say Randy Moss, but.
They didn't win. Yeah, that's a good one, though.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
They created the greatest offense of all time.
Exactly.
Tyree's helmet kept him out of the... David Tyree's helmet lets the Miami Dolphins old geezers pop champagne every year. It's a little bit annoying to me.
But how great would it be if you were one of them?
Oh, yeah. Every time any of the guys that are alive, they're in the public space, every time they're introduced, it is with the attachment of member of the only undefeated team.
Yeah.
Like this year, Larry Zonka was one of the guys that carried in the Lombardi.
Yeah.
And that was the distinction of him.
Yeah.
Hell, it'd be awesome if you were one of those guys, no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably why they pop champagne.
Yeah, so, I mean,
it's the only
what a
thing
fun,
keeping them
cool brotherhood thing, you know?
It's the only thing keeping them in the limelight.
Yeah.
So let's talk your Steelers.
Oh, man.
How do you feel about the Russell Wilson acquisition first?
I understand why they did it, because it was so cheap.
But yeah, I agree with that.
I don't understand why they would want to create even more controversy at that position. I don't know. I also wonder how maybe a lot of it is, you know, maybe they were straightforward. Hey, Pickett is our guy. We want you to come in and be a mentor and help us develop him. I don't know. I wasn't crazy about it, but it was cheap. That's it.
It was incredibly cheap. And in Russell Wilson's defense, the last 10 games or so last year, he was actually really good. But the bar was set so low for him in the time in Denver that nobody even cares that he was. So we'll see if that can continue.
Denver started out so bad that literally nobody paid attention to them at all.
I mean, from the very first game of Nathaniel Hackett and Russell Wilson in Seattle, when they botched the end of the game bad, and Peyton was sitting there, timeout, 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 you know, on the Manning cast, and then they missed from then on, Russell Wilson's, the rest of his 2-year career was basically an afterthought.
Yep. Yeah, it was.
Patrick Queen. I thought that was a very interesting pickup for in the division.
Yeah.
I thought that was wild.
Yeah, it is.
And has to be an upgrade. That dude is good.
Mm-hmm. It is. Yeah, it's I don't know. Like I say, you know, I just if we can start blocking.
Yeah.
You still haven't mentioned a Trent Williams or somebody like that coming in, so yeah, that's where I am with my Steelers. When I see them get players that can hold the line, then I'll get a little excited.
Yeah, because the truth of it is, Pickett hasn't been helped at all.
No.
In that regard, with the offensive line.
I mean, the offensive line was terrible, and the offensive coordinator was even worse. You know?
Would you have rather had Justin Fields?
Oh, that's a good question. No, I don't. I don't think so. I do want. I want to see what Pickett can do, but I, you know, he needs help to do it. I don't know.
Okay, what's going on down at Garrison Financial?
Hey, we're just taking care of people, keeping an eye on the market, helping people kind of navigate through these waters. Crazy times, but there's been crazy times before, and there'll be crazy times again. So you want to go over your financial plan. You want to see that your money's working efficiently. Give me a call. Come down and see us. Get you fixed up.
821-1219, 124 North Main. And, of course, scott@soonerwealth.com is his email address. So you, now, are you one of those guys that has a birthday? Or do you have, like, birth weekend? Do you have, like, birth week? Is
well,
it birth
we're going,
month?
We're going to Sam wanted to go. We usually go skiing spring break, but thanks to the old –
Yeah, the feet.
Thanks to the feet, that's not going to happen. So,
ride a sled, man.
We are going down to the Texas 2K drag races in Enos, Texas. Sam wanted to do it.
Oh, really? So,
yeah, gonna
this weekend.
Get the Shelby ready, and I mean, we're not. I'm not You're racing. Not,
oh, okay. No, I was going to say now. Whoa! Hold the phone.
Yeah, but we're going to get the Shelby ready. Take it down there. Go see the drag races. Also, think I've never been to one. Thinking about getting tickets to the Stars game.
Oh, dude,
oh, that'd be
do
fun.
It.
Yeah?
Do it.
Hockey's fun.
It's awesome. You will not believe how fast it is.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
I mean, did you ever go to like a Blazers game or anything like that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. See.
When I was going to hair school in Amarillo, that we had the a minor league hockey team. It was fantastic. It was like $5 to get in and like $2 for a beer.
You're not going to believe how much different it is.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It's one of the – The jump, viewing wise, is higher than any other thing.
All right,
in my mind.
All right,
having fun. Happy birthday!
You got this next guy in here to talk about soccer.
Yeah, he's got fired up. He's ready to tell us exactly how Elk City soccer has gone so far. All right, thank you, Scotty.
All right, have a good one, guys.
Scott@soonerwealth.com. Garrison Financial Friday, joining us next. Let's talk a little Big Elk baseball. Head coach Jay McClure in the house, joining us here. He's going to have a busy weekend. Me and Mr. Mayfield were talking about maybe needing to throw on Saturday by the time these games all stack up together. Skinny on Sports coming back on a Garrison Financial Friday right here on the Sports Animal.
Hello, my name is Scott Garrison. You may remember me as Scott the Barber or just as Ron and Carla's son. I've been involved in our community since opening Scott's Barbershop on the southeast corner of 3rd and Main in 1998. Now I'm back in the same building as Garrison Financial. I started investing in my 20s. I invested through the dot-com crash and the Great Recession. I started caring for other people's money in 2018, and I truly enjoy sitting down with my clients, understanding their wants and needs as well as what keeps them up at night. Whether my friends just want me to invest a little of their savings or want me to work with their tax and legal professionals to strive towards optimal efficiency, we can do it all. I believe communication is key to helping my clients reach their goals. For if we are faithful over a few things, we shall be given more. Contact me at scott@soonerwealth.com. Securities offered through registered representatives of Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a broker-dealer, member FINRA, and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Garrison Financial and Cambridge are not affiliated. This communication is strictly intended for individuals residing in the states of Colorado, Nevada, Oklahoma, and Texas. No offers may be made or accepted from any resident outside the specific states referenced. Cambridge does not offer tax and legal advice.
The Skinny on Sports.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal, hanging out on a Garrison Financial Friday. Scotty G is in the house here a little bit earlier. Garrison Financial, he's a full financial planner that'll shop the open market to bring you the best value on your investments, on your life insurance. If you're one of those people that likes to kind of dibble and dabble yourself, but you just don't know how to get going, he can either create a plan and manage it for you, or he can create that plan, charge you hourly, and then you can start managing that plan on your own. Scott@soonerwealth.com is his email address. 124 North Main is the physical location, and 821-1219 is his office phone number. Scott@soonerwealth.com, Scott Garrison and Garrison Financial. Joining us now is the head baseball coach of the Elk City Elks. Got a busy weekend, busy week next week, and baseball season's going to be cranking up. Joining us is Mr. Jay McClure. Jay Mack, how are you?
Doing good.
How much more comfortable do you feel here at the start of year three than maybe you felt a couple of years ago as a brand new head coach of the Big Elks?
It all comes a little easier now. Honestly, the nerves are still there. You know, every time we go play, it doesn't matter who it is. There's always going to be nerves there for me anyway. you know, and this year we had a couple of injuries going into it, which kind of added to the nerves a little bit. But, I mean, these kids have stepped up. We've had different kids plug in at different positions. It's, you know, it's been fun to watch.
5 games in so far, how do you feel that things have gone, considering the injuries and just the way it started?
So far, it's been pretty good. You know, we didn't really know what to expect. We had to move a right fielder to third base, you know, slide a second baseman over shortstop, move a kid to second. So going into it, we were a little nervous about those kids in particular. But the pitching's been good. We've been swinging the bats better than expected, so that's always a positive.
Numbers-wise, all the way from, you know, seventh on up through your high school program, how do you feel like the numbers have stabilized, or are you even seeing still growth coming through all those teams?
I think it's starting to stabilize a little bit now. You know, 2-3 years ago, we were seeing these numbers, and we've never seen those numbers before. You know, we've been able to have a freshman team, a JV team, and a varsity team the past few years, which is great for our kids. You know, you get 20 kids on a team, it's tough to get everybody playing time. So being able to split them up, it does help.
How hard is it to make a schedule, knowing that you have numbers that maybe nobody else really does?
Yeah, you know, our freshman group this year, it's a really talented group, you know, but they're going and playing varsity baseball teams. It's a little different, competition level than maybe they're used to seeing. But in the long run, you know, that's why we do it. You know, get them ready to go for next year, because there's a handful of them going to have to step up and play varsity next year.
Every season you can tell an identity of a team. You know, last year's identity was very successful. And, you know, outside of personnel, I know we're only 5 games in, but are you kind of getting an idea of a feel for this team, what their identity is, their makeup, stuff like that?
You know, this group, very similar to last year's group, I think, even though we lost, you know, some really key players, Kai Keys, Big Red, you know, Cooper Church. But I think the identity is very similar. They're a tough group of kids. You know, perfect example was against McGinnis the other night. We get down early, but they don't give up. They just keep fighting. They keep swinging the bats. They keep pitching, and good things happen.
And that, you know, probably credit to the culture you've created, that culture of, yeah, we're down, but we're not out. And like you said, they don't give up. I mean, sure, every team has different identities, but that culture's still there too.
You know, I hope that's part of it. You know, with the coaches, you know, we try to ingrain in them that, hey, there's no time clock in baseball.
Yeah.
You know, it's not over to that last out's made, so keep fighting.
I hope they don't put a pitch clock in high school baseball.
I agree.
you mentioned the injuries, Colin Church and Catch Gino, talking to those guys after the McGinnis game. Seems like they're getting closer to being back in the next couple of weeks, hopefully, or what have you. But could that have been a little bit of a blessing in disguise once we look back at the end of the season, making some other guys step up and play into roles that maybe they weren't ready for, but they've done a pretty good job of filling in?
Absolutely. You know, going into it, the part that I didn't really see coming was our pitching. You know, you lose two quality arms right there. Both of them are mid-80s guys. So that wasn't the part I was really looking at going into it. But now, you know, this weekend, we're going to throw some freshmen so that, you know, Crew Keys has been playing some second base for us. Just kind of gets thrown in the fire. He's done a great job for us. I mean, he got a base hit to tie the game against Jones on opening day, and then scored the go-ahead run eventually later on. So it is a blessing when you look at it. That opening day, you're like, man, I wish, really wish I had those two guys. But no, it's been good.
Hanging out with head baseball coach Jay McClure of Big Elk Baseball. All right, everybody knows that you have something that nobody else does. What's it like watching Cash go out there every Monday of district and throw the way he throws?
You know, when he was a sophomore, you knew he was special. And then last year got better. And then the jump he's made to his senior year, you don't see that very often in kids that old. You know, when they're younger, they may make a pretty good jump. But the jump he made velocity-wise going from 92 to 96, you don't see that very often. But, I mean, it's a circus in the stands, honestly, the past couple games. And all the coaches ask me, is it always like this? Well, it is now, yeah. It's just part of it. You know, you kind of – the second game, there was probably 40, 50 scouts there watching him. I try not to pay attention to it, try not to notice it. you know, it is exciting, and it's fun for him, and it's fun for the kids to go out and play in front of all those people.
How is he? Do you think how? I mean, this might be a question for him, but how is he handling that? I know there's probably a large amount of pressure to perform very well with almost every single pitch that he throws. So how is he handling that his senior year?
I was really impressed the way he handled the first game out when all the scouts were here at Elk City. It didn't seem to bother him. He just kind of took it all in stride. And he's been to some big events where, you know, he's had 50, 60 people sitting and watching him throw bullpens. And so, you know, and I called Monty the next day and told him, man, I was super impressed with the way Cash went out and handled it, all that craziness. You know, it didn't seem to faze him. He just goes out and throws strikes, and you get what you get with Cash, and you know you got a chance to beat anybody.
So where do you think he is in his development? I mean, you know, like you said, last year kind of 91 to 93 maybe, and then, you know, you make that jump. Where is he?
That's a great question. You know, all the scouts that we talk to, you know, they a couple tweaks here and there, they think they can get 2-3 more miles per hour out of him, or, you know, just something little with his slider, you know, things like that. So I don't think he's done. You know, I think he's got a very high ceiling just with his body style and his makeup.
How much does it help just with the other guys watching his routine? No, and they know what it is, right? I mean, your guys know, you know, the possibilities that are coming in the spring for him. You know, not obviously he could go to OSU, but, you know, maybe not even that. How much does it help those other guys see his routine, see his, you know, how hard he works, and then kind of organically that builds its own thing?
We have seen that. A lot of our younger guys, you know, Cash has a very specific workout that he does with, you know, heavy balls and different stretches. And when it first started, maybe one or two kind of joined him. Now this year, I mean, seventh graders are watching him and trying to emulate what he's doing to get their arms built up. And, you know, our whole pitching staff pretty much does, you know, Cash's workout now, which is good for our guys. I mean, if they're half as good as Cash, I'll take them.
Big games today, we hope, unless the weather changes that. Tuttle coming to town. Just on top of that, this district, again, looks like it's very formidable. I know we're five games in again, but look ahead, not just about today's games, but the rest of the games on your schedule, tournament, stuff like that.
You know, we try to get a tough schedule. You know, for me, I want to go see the best so our kids can see what that looks like to be at Tuttle's level or Blanchard, Chickasha, whoever it may be. And then on top of that, the district schedule. McGinnis coming in this year. We saw two Division I arms Monday and Tuesday. We were able to score enough runs to beat those guys. Weatherford coming up here shortly, another very, very quality baseball team. They went and beat Jones last night. So we got a really tough schedule. It's set up that way for our guys to see the best we can see. You know, and to me, that's how you get better. You don't get better going and playing somebody that you know you're going to run rule. So we set it up that way for our kids to go play against the best we can find.
Hanging out with head coach Jay McClure of Elk City Baseball. Early season so far, it seems like you said you guys have swung it pretty well. Talk about a couple of the guys that have really kind of impressed, especially at the plate, for the Big Elk so far.
Probably the most impressive so far to me has been Jackson MacArthur, sophomore. Played some JV last year. He's getting some time behind the plate for us. He's played some second. He DHs quite a bit for us. We ended up moving him to leadoff spot. He's hitting well over 500 right now. He has a little bit of pop for a young guy. He runs really well. So he's been a big surprise. Ryland Parks, you know, kid that played sparingly last year, he's come in. He's just wearing it out at the plate right now. So that's, you know, and that's always good. You move your right fielder into infield, Ryland steps in. You don't miss a beat with him. You know, he gets up and takes his hacks. And so those two guys have probably been the two biggest surprises for me.
Yeah, and then, of course, you probably planned on Big Riley swinging it, and he's been really good so far too.
Yeah, 1 through 9, you know, I look at our lineup, 1 through 9, and you just, you're like, man, we ought to be able to just pound anybody they throw at us.
New playoff format this year. Explain kind of, you know, a year ago right now when we had you in, everybody knew with the way it was set up, there was a pretty decent chance that it was going to be Elk City and Tuttle in the semifinals, no matter if both teams were undefeated or whatever. That's just the way it was going to be. That has changed a little bit, so kind of explain to our listeners how the changes have been made to the playoff format to get to the state tournament.
They did away with the bye districts, where it matched up District 1 and District 3 or however it worked out that year. Did away with all that. Go straight to a regional now. The top two teams in the district will host regionals. It'll be a four-team regional. And that is predetermined from regionals going to different regionals. After the regionals, there'll be 16 regionals, 16 winners. Then each team will go in and rank 1 through 16 of the regional winners. Then they'll pair them off. 16 goes to 1, 15 to 2, and so on down the line.
Okay, so there are 16. So it's just one. You have to win the regional in order to then go to the super regionals, I guess, and get the ranked. I was looking at the districts. I didn't realize it was the top two.
Yeah, eight top two districts will host, and then 16 winners go rank, and then they pair them off for the eight super regionals. Eight winners of that will go on to the state tournament.
You like it?
Yeah.
I don't know yet. I have my reservations about the voting system, but we'll see.
What are those reservations?
The
buddy system.
Yes, that's a good way to put it, the buddy system.
So if we can all get together and make Elk City be this spot, it'll make them have to play this team in a super regional, and then
nobody has to see cash.
Exactly.
Well, obviously, that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes.
I mean, so on the flip side of that, though, I think for the teams that have aspirations of being in the state tournament, but okay, wait, let's backtrack one. Once you get to 1 to 16, 8 to 9, then that's set into the state tournament, right?
Correct.
So that you don't redo it once you get to state.
Correct.
Okay. So if you're, you know, if you're a team that maybe you don't think you're number 1, but you think you're pretty good, wouldn't it behoove that team to just make Elk City number 1? That way you know you're not going to get voted 16th, so you're not going to have to see cash.
You know, I think that could play a lot into it as well. You know, I think teams will look at our pitchers, and more specifically Cash Mayfield, and probably vote us maybe higher. You know,
Just to get away from before.
Cash.
I mean, you know, eventually in the state tournament, you might have to see it.
Right.
But at least in super regionals, I wonder if that's, because if you start trying to push it down, then you might end up going, uh-oh, oops.
Yep. I agree.
Now there they are.
Yep.
All right. So early season, like I said, just 5. You're going to learn a lot here in the next, you know, couple of days, all the way down to the spring break week, going down to Broken Bow, playing some competition down there, and of course what you've done in district. What is something that you think right now, man, if we could just get a little bit better at that, we might be, you know, back where we've been the last couple of years competing to win the 4A state championship?
Right now it'd probably be pitching, just consistently throwing strikes. You know, we've walked a few here and there, and it hadn't been terrible. But compared to last, you know, you lose Cooper Church, and people may not notice Cooper Church because he's not a big power arm, but he just threw strikes. I mean, he got us out of a lot of tight jams. He threw a lot of big games for us. We're just consistently throwing strikes. You know, if you throw strikes in high school baseball, you're going to win a lot of games. So that to me, that's kind of our, I don't want to say weakness because it's not a weakness, but probably our area of improvement.
Now, there's some guys maybe at the hospital getting fed for breakfast this morning listening. Do you know anything about
this?
I
didn't know anything about that.
Well, my wife asked if you'd say some nice things about whoever that is. I don't even know who they are.
But
some of your guys.
Oh, some of my guys? Well, depending on who it is. I don't want to go out on a limb and say something I'll regret.
All right, so today, 1 o'clock, and then just whenever after that, well, it's going to be Tuttle in town. 2 varsity games because of last Friday's rain out. Didn't get to go down there. So playing 2 today, and then tomorrow, tell us what's going on.
Tomorrow we got Mount St. Mary coming in. They were here last year for the regional. They dropped down to 3A. They wanted to come out here and play, so Mount St. Mary and us will play at noon. And then Weatherford's coming over, and it'll be Weatherford, Mount St. Mary, probably 2:30-ish.
So just after, that'll be back-to-back. You and Weatherford aren't playing. It's not like a three-way.
Correct.
It's just that you guys will play them, then Weatherford will play them.
Correct.
Awesome.
Well, it's spring break. Where are you guys going?
We're going down to Broken Bow this year, you know, trying to save a little money, probably looking at saving about $15,000 by not going out to Alabama again.
Well, those cabins can get expensive, though.
They can get expensive. They are expensive. But, you know, we wanted to go see some competition we may run into later, so we decided to stick around this year and go down to Broken Bow and go see some of the teams from the East.
Any Texarkana teams coming, like Texas or Arkansas or anything like that?
We don't play any. I'm sure there's probably some that come up and play, but this year we won't see any Texas teams.
Cool. All right, J-Mac. Jay McClure, head coach of Big Elk Baseball. Awesome opportunity in the next 2 days to see some really, really solid high school baseball. Elk City and Tuttle, a doubleheader, which is all varsity today starting at 1 o'clock, and then tomorrow at noon, Mount St. Mary, which, as Jay mentioned, regional championship game last year was Mount St. Mary and Elk City. They dropped down to 3A. They, I'm sure, would be a contender there because they had a bunch of guys coming back. And then, of course, Weatherford. If you want to get that sneak peek at the Weatherford Eagles coming up on the district schedule in April, you can get a chance at it tomorrow as well in Ackley Park. Hey, appreciate your time.
Thank you guys for having me.
Good luck today.
Thank you.
Have fun. Stay warm.
Yes, definitely.
And by the way, I didn't get this text from your wife, and she didn't say it yesterday at Weatherford either, but I'm going to tell because she every time I see her, eat something before the game, please.
We'll try. No promises.
Head coach Jay McClure of Big Elk Baseball. When we come back, talk about the news of the day yesterday. Oklahoma State firing head basketball coach Mike Boynton. What does that mean? Is it worth our time to talk Doug Gottlieb?
That was all the talk yesterday.
It was. Skinny on Sports coming back to wrap up Garrison Financial Friday next right here on the Sports Animal.
Hello, my name is Scott Garrison. You may remember me as Scott the Barber or just as Ron and Carla's son. I've been involved in our community since opening Scott's Barbershop on the southeast corner of 3rd and Main in 1998. Now I'm back in the same building as Garrison Financial. I started investing in my 20s. I invested through the dot-com crash and the Great Recession. I started caring for other people's money in 2018, and I truly enjoy sitting down with my clients, understanding their wants and needs as well as what keeps them up at night. Whether my friends just want me to invest a little of their savings or want me to work with their tax and legal professionals to strive towards optimal efficiency, we can do it all. I believe communication is key to helping my clients reach their goals. For if we are faithful over a few things, we shall be given more. Contact me at scott@soonerwealth.com. Securities offered through registered representatives of Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a broker-dealer member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Garrison Financial and Cambridge are not affiliated. This communication is strictly intended for individuals residing in the states of Colorado, Nevada, Oklahoma, and Texas. No offers may be made or accepted from any resident outside the specific states referenced. Cambridge does not offer tax and legal advice.
The Skinny on Sports.
First or last, baby!
Welcome back, Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal, hanging out here on a Garrison Financial Friday. Easy show for us, Jared. Ask Scott a question or two, let him talk. Ask Jay a question or two, let him talk, and we just kind of hang out.
Still got a lot of information out there.
Yeah, we absolutely. Yeah. Hey, it's a little bit cooler today. But that doesn't mean that the conference tournaments aren't heating up. Getting into kind of the semifinals, quarter, depending on which one, with Big 12s and the semis today. What a perfect place. You know where you need to go to watch and enjoy? The Boomtown Grill. We've talked about yesterday, the Thursday 50-cent wing special. Tuesday, the chicken fry, $5 chicken fry special. Of course, there's the 12 big screen TVs, happy hour 2 to 6, Monday through Friday, which means still today, happy hour 2 to 6. 11 beers on tap, 30 bottled and canned beers available with imports, domestics, and large wine. We talked about the comfort food. But you know what else there is? There's healthier options.
Oh, okay.
There's definitely healthier side to the Boomtown Grill. Salads, grilled chicken salad, steak salad. You know, there's salmon on the menu. And so it's not, you know, Kara and I say, oh, let's go to a Aaron restaurant, which is biscuits and sausage gravy.
Yeah.
Or let's go to a Kara restaurant, which is hummus and wraps. Boomtown's both. It's got all the options. From healthy options all the way down to the comfort food and the chicken fries and mashed potatoes and gravy. Perfect spot to watch all the sports, and it is the headquarters of March Madness at the Boomtown Grill. 2103 South Main in Elk City, 225-3463 is their phone number for carryout options. And then also they're open 11 to 10 on Sunday through Thursday, 11 to 11 Friday and Saturday, the Boomtown Grill. Big news of the day yesterday around here, obviously, was Oklahoma State parting ways with head coach Mike Boynton. After seven seasons, Boynton amassed a 119 and 109 overall record. He had 3-21 seasons, 2-20 loss seasons, which he's the only Oklahoma State head basketball coach ever with that distinction of 2-20 loss seasons, made the tournament and won a game. Not obviously up to the Eddie Sutton standard, but Oklahoma State basketball hasn't been that since Eddie left. Just kind of your overall thoughts on that actually happening, and then we'll talk about where they go, where Oklahoma State goes after that.
Well, I think I made it clear I thought it was going to happen, and it did. I thought it may have happened later to save some money for the university side of things, but I think with them doing it now, him getting the pay to go away, shows that OSU is clearly invested in their basketball program. So we'll see if that continues with who they go and hire. And what kind of deal do they go, you know, so that's, of course, that's going to be speculation between now and you'd expect maybe a hire at maybe days after the end of the tournament because their guy is probably going to be in this thing. But my point is, it's unfortunate because everything you hear about, he's just a nice guy and he's going to be fine. I mean, that payout was good and he'll wind up on a staff somewhere or maybe even as a head coach somewhere else. But the point is, I think it's a good sign for OSU and OSU fans that your university is clearly still invested in the basketball program by making this move now and signing that check and moving forward. So that's the silver lining out of all of this, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't think we talked about it in speculation of what might happen. I really don't think it had as much to do with wins and losses as it did those last couple of home games after Bedlam and the apathy from the fans. You could probably handle losing just a little bit, but when you're getting $4,000 or $5,000 to show up, that's when I think that it became apparent it was time. And so, yeah, that's the first thing I thought when I saw today after the show was, that's a great sign for Oklahoma State basketball and the commitment to it because you had to start. I mean, it just naturally wonder because of how important football is to everything, not just at OSU, at anywhere. Do some of these other things go on the back burner? And it's really kudos to Chad Weiberg for making that decision and whoever ponied up the money for that buyout, which it's a good sign for Oklahoma State basketball going into the new Big 12, which doesn't get any easier with, even though, you know, Oklahoma and Texas have been what they've been in basketball since the Big 12's inception. But Arizona, you know, you're talking about teams that they could play.
Yeah.
Can
yeah,
absolutely
there are no slouches. Play. And, you ever do that? Just lose it. Right on the tip of my tongue, I lost it. Anyways. No, it's a good sign for OSU. And so curious. I mean, we're going to move on now and talk about who they could hire, and I'm curious what direction they go there.
I think it's – you're going to see – I think you're going to see their next head coach in this tournament. And yep. I would be looking at the mid-major types of guys. Maybe, you know, possibly an assistant – on one of the Power Five teams, maybe, but for me, you're looking at head coaches of smaller programs. Now, which one they target? I know the Drake head coach. I can't remember. It starts with the DeVries, something like that. I know he's a hot name out there. FAU, May. I think with FAU though, he may be kind of a notch above, you know, Ohio State open, you know, that a little bit higher, maybe not, but I do think that's more of a maybe a little bit too late to the party type of thing there. But yeah, I think you're right. You're going to see somebody that you'll watch over the next little bit here is going to end up being the guy. Who that is, I'm sure they've, you know, you don't make a move like this. Chad Weiberg doesn't make a move like this without having an idea of who they want. Now, the one question is out there about Gottlieb. It's not happening. It's not going to happen. I think there's a multitude of reasons why it's not going to happen. One, I understand why he, you know, it's easy for us to go, well, why won't he just go be an assistant somewhere? If he really wants this job, why won't he just go be an assistant? Well, I'll tell you why. He makes about $1 million on radio and, you know, and TV. It's so, he's still got to take care of his family, right?
Right. Were they paying him with rice and beans as an assistant?
Well, an assistant at where?
Find a good place to be.
Okay,
an assistant.
He's going to take a 90% pay cut. I mean, how much do you
it's
think?
It's hard
he's gonna...
for me to feel sorry for him if he really wants a job. Sacrifices might have to be made, right?
Oh, so you if you really wanted a job, you'd take a 90%. I mean, how much money do you think he's going to make at an assistant in some small college?
I don't know what the pay range is for assistants.
100 grand tops, 200 grand tops. I mean. What do you think the head coach at Drake is making? A couple hundred grand?
Yeah.
Okay, well, maybe. His assistant ain't getting there. Point is, that's just not going to happen. Unless the brass at Oklahoma State will just hire him. He is never, ever going to give up the job he has for that. And so therefore, he's never going to be the OSU basketball coach.
Has he voiced interest in this job over the last
1,000,000%.
Has anybody called him or asked for a comment after the news yesterday? I'm curious if that tune has changed for him.
As far as he
wanting the job or not.
Oh, if he gets offered the job, he's taking it. That's a guarantee. He's some sort of analyst there anyway, or a helper. Yeah, no, he's taking that job if it's offered to him, but it's not going to be offered to him. So I guess my point is, yeah, it's fun to talk about because of his notoriety within basketball, but his notoriety within basketball has nothing to do with being a coach. And I get the idea of him knowing the game, and he does know the game. And I think that the least of the worries about Gottlieb would be during the game. You know,
yeah.
The management of the game, I think, are the least of anybody's worries about him, because he does know it. Not knowing how to be a coach, not knowing the rest of that job, is why he's not going to get it. And maybe there's a part of OSU that is like, listen, if you really want it that bad, then do give up sacrifice. What you're doing now to prove to us that you really want to do that. And so that's where the stalemate is going to happen and always is going to happen, in my mind, because nobody is giving up 80% of their salary to go to Idaho State to be an assistant. Right now, I think that Gottlieb has some built-in advantages with his network of basketball people, none other than one of his best friends, Brian Montanati, at Owosso, and, oh, by the way, his son, Jalen Montanati, who, you know, if he, you know, fantasy land did get that job, almost assures Jalen Montanati of being a Cowboy. But I also think that Cade Cunningham, we've already been down this road with OSU. I think the hiring of Boynton kind of guaranteed that Cade Cunningham was coming. Well, that was nice for a year. But now what? What else you got in your bag? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so it seems fun, but it's not happening. So let's figure out who really might get hired.
Text line of Scott Sutton and Keaton Page get to stay in staff. And like you said, Sam said, it's probably up to the new coach. It's up to the new coach. And we get a new coach in, he probably has an idea of how he wants to build his staff. On the other side, I know these are OSU guys we're talking about, but they were a part of a 12-20 season.
Yeah, and you hear rumblings that they weren't really getting to do much. That it was Boynton kind of doing his own thing and not really letting them, not utilizing their skills. Barry Henson's there as well. I wouldn't be shocked if those guys are at least there until the new hire's made. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then it probably is up to whoever comes in as to what their fates are.
It's a catch-22 making this hire because of how the tight-knit community that OSU is. You want to hire an OSU guy that's maybe been there or went to school there, obviously got leaps off the page in all those categories. But you also want to make the right hire, and you want to – it's like, okay, so say you bring in Gottlieb, just hypothetically, because he's that guy I just spoke of. Well, man, that's going to be incredibly hard to fire him if it doesn't work out in 2 or 3 years. Is it? Like, man, hey, I know you're orange and black through and through, but we got to let you go.
Yeah, I don't
think so. Or is it easier to fire a guy that they hired from outside, like you gave a chance to the DePaul guy or the Florida Atlantic guy?
Well, or even maybe think of it the other way, where in 3 years it's obviously not working. Maybe because he cares about Oklahoma State, mm-hmm. he looks up and goes, nope, it ain't working. I'm done.
Yep.
I care too much about this place to continue to run it in the ground. It's wasted breath because it is not happening. It's not happening. And so now you got to figure out who fits and who can try to restore Oklahoma State basketball back toward where Eddie had it. And I think you look none other than mid-major head coaches in this tournament, and we can all pick out our favorite and see if that might be who it is. Some other names you hear: Greg Marshall, remember him from Wichita State?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was unceremoniously shown the door up there with some stuff that he was doing. Maybe I don't know if you'd call it hazing, but not necessarily the greatest guy of all time. It sounded like, I mean, from reports. You know, the name that keeps on being brought up, and it's because he's had so much success, is Will Wade. Everybody remembers Will Wade from LSU on a wiretap, FBI wiretap, wanting to pay somebody money. Now at McNeese State, he's got them in the tournament at like, what, 28-3 or something like that. I mean, so, you know, he's a name that's going to – somebody's going to do it.
Bring him in, interview him, go – Will, did you learn your lesson?
Yeah, well, here's
okay, here are the keys.
Now, here's the problem for Oklahoma State. It wasn't that long ago where they were in the same investigation and missed the tournament they would have missed it anyways, but were not allowed to be in the tournament for that same thing. So I would highly doubt that Oklahoma State would be the place where that happened. You know, Sam says, what about Johnny Dawkins at UCF? Where do you think Oklahoma State, as a job, as a program, where are they? You know, there was talk about like Greg McDermott at Creighton. Well, I mean, is Creighton a better job than Oklahoma State? I think at this point it is.
This just feels like 90s OU football, like it's a sleeping giant.
Well, we've seen it be good.
Yeah.
We've seen it be really good.
I think with the right hire – you can awaken it, and they could be really good. And with their stepping up in the conference play, with what's coming in, Arizona mainly, and of course Kansas still here, Houston here. And that will, it's kind of like what we hope is going to happen with OU football, is going to make them better by stepping up in competition. So I think it's a very attractive job because of the history and then the conference that they're going to be playing in, the new Big 12. But again, it feels like a 90s OU football situation where everybody knows with the right hire, the right personnel, the right kids get in the program, it could be good and great again.
I think that Jeremy just brought up a really interesting name. An OSU guy that has been a coach. Now, he hasn't necessarily been a coach at the collegiate level. Randy Rutherford. I think that's a very interesting name. If you're maybe you kill two birds with one stone, or is that a guy, another guy that needs to, you know, go from McLean somewhere else, you know, to quote unquote pay his dues. And then of course in dreamland with Kansas struggling so bad, is it time? Is it Bill Self time? Come on home, Bill. I'm teasing. I think we all know that that's not happening, but
Lawrence would burn down if you left them to go to in conference.
Would it? Or are they ready for something different? Are they so spoiled that a season like right now is making them?
They want him out.
Want him out, and let's do something different.
If he wants out, now would be the time to do it.
He'll be gone just like his hair is. Did you see the stat? Let me find this. My Twitter updated. We talked yesterday a little bit about Kansas and the struggle that it's been for them. And for the first time ever on, what would that have been, Wednesday, for the first time ever, they were an underdog in the Big 12 tournament ever since 1996, which is just crazy.
That is nuts.
How long do you think it's been?
And I wouldn't think it'd be against a team that just played the day prior.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. But, obviously, it shows you a couple injuries and how bad a shape you're in.
Yeah.
How long do you think it's been since Duke and Kansas neither reached their conference tournament semifinal?
Well, I was probably still wearing Ninja Turtle underwear. So about 5 years ago?
I don't even think you were born. When were you born?
83. 83.
You were not born.
Wow.
1982.
Wow.
Is the last time that neither Kansas or Duke played in the ACC or Big 8, Big 12 semifinals. In 82, Duke lost to Wake Forest and Kansas lost to Kansas State in the quarterfinals.
Well, no one's feeling sorry for him.
Yeah, Kansas is a football school now.
Right? Yeah.
That's awesome. 1982. Anyway, what do you got going this weekend?
Hitting the road tomorrow. Driving up to Colorado.
Oh, that's right. You're not going to be here next week.
Nope. I'll be out. So, got about a 9.5-hour road trip ahead of us tomorrow. I'm hoping the roads are clear after that snowstorm that blew through the Denver area, because we'll be driving through it. And then I'll be up in northern Colorado for the week, hanging out with family.
Very good. All right. Everybody out there listening, do not forget, Selection Sunday is coming this weekend. Get signed up for the Western Oklahoma Realty Bracket Challenge. I have a link straight to our group on the Facebook page. Winner, $500. $500 for the winner. $200 for second, $100 for third. People before property is their motto. Tyler, Robbie, all the game. Listen.
Big time.
Tyler had to put up with me for literally a year as we went through the process of selling our house, buying a new house last summer. And he was great to work with. He always, no matter if he knew we weren't going to enjoy the house we were going to go look at, he always found the keys and went with us and looked at it and then walked out and said, I didn't tell you so, but I should have. No, but he was great to work with, easy to work with. Sold our house, found the perfect house for us as well. So Western Oklahoma Realty, Tyler Harrison, Robbie Allen, and all the gang. People before property is their motto. Get signed up. I'll repost that link to the group on our Skinny on Sports Facebook page. We'll share them. It's just the easiest way for you. Instead of having to navigate through the ESPN site, you can just click that link and bam, get signed up right there with our group, and then be able to fill out your brackets coming up on Sunday. So, man,
it's here.
The week is over. Next time I talk to you, it will be tournament week.
Oh, yeah. Or talk to our audience. We talk
to our audience.
Oh, yeah. It's like, talk to me. It'll be Sweet 16 week.
Everybody have a wonderful weekend. Be back on Monday. Skinny on Sports right here on the Sports Channel.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.